Hey, remember to subscribe and follow my podcast so when I release a new episode, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. I am very active on there. Have a great day and enjoy the episode. So when I was enlightened about 6 years ago, right, I remember doing something and I went through all my Facebook friends, right, and I deleted, I had like 1,000 friends, right, and I deleted about 980 of them and I was left with 20 of them. And these 20 people were the people that I saw regularly, but were just people I've met nights out, randomly at parties and places, and I didn't know them. And yet every day I was seeing all their crap and bollocks coming up on my newsfeed. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that people need to go through their social medias and see, do these people serve them any purpose? Because if they don't serve them purpose, all their crap is going to intoxicate your mindset and it's going to fill your head with nonsense. And so it's very important to dissect and simplify all of the people on your Facebook who don't have a value in your life.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you. That's what I'm going to do, and I was already doing. So trying to do a kind of selection of the friends that I have on Facebook. Right now, I have almost 4,000 people, but I really think that more than enough of them, I don't know them. And so, yeah, pretty, I agree with you, with your point of view in that.
Because, like, we only spend time with, say, 5 people. Statistically, we are made up of the 5 people we hang around with the most. And most of the time, we only have, like, 5 close friends, right? Of course, we know loads of people. You've got neighbours and acquaintances. But really, we have 5, like, main friends that you would literally die for us, basically. Apart from that, anyone else, they're just people that literally we've probably only met once. And we've only met them for, like, 50 minutes or so. And so you wouldn't have loads of old shoes in the cupboard when you get new shoes. So why would you have loads of friends on Facebook when you've really only got 5, like, great friends, which is the same as having 5 great pair of shoes? The same principle of just having a wardrobe full of old clothes. It's just, it was relevant back then, but now it's not relevant. And you don't even wear these clothes. You don't see these friends. So why the hell are they on your Facebook? Just cluttering your mind.
Yeah, well, with some of them, I never talk to them. So the most part of them, I think. But I'm not so agree with the shoe issues because, you know, I'm a woman, so I love my shoes. And every day I'm choosing one and use them, all of them. But pretty much the same.
Yeah, obviously, shoes is just an example, but really, it comes down to just, if you don't need something in your life, deal with it. Don't just let it hang around. I have a system where I keep it, order it, or bin it. So if I keep it, it needs to have an order. And if I don't use it, it goes in the bin or to the charity. And so many people, their life, their room, their wardrobe, their garage, their loft, their phone has got so many contacts of people that A, that's not even the number anymore. That's an old number that doesn't even work.
Yeah.
B, you don't see these people and yet they're in your phone. They are present in your life, but they're not present in your life. And that goes to Facebook, that goes to emails, Twitter, your phone, your laptop. How many files on your laptop? Old CVs that you give the jobs, old photos, old things that are just there. And it's like, why the fuck are they there? They don't serve anyone any purpose.
Yeah, perfectly agree with you. A lot of them, I have to be honest. Well, once in a while, I used to go through all the things that I have and trying to understand if they are still, I'm still using them or they are still valuable to me. But, you know, not everybody's going to do that. And sometimes people are just lazy and they don't want to think about a thing. So, okay, they are there. And maybe sometimes or, you know, tomorrow it can be useful for me, but this tomorrow is never coming. And so you're just pulling your things and pulling your everything with stuff that at the end you are not going to use. Maybe, yes, the tomorrow that you are going to use it can come, but maybe there are another thing that came out and maybe it's better to use the new thing than the old one, even if the old one was good to do the work in the general. So, yeah, I think it's the human nature sometimes to keep. And to, maybe it's not a nature, no, I'm sorry. It's maybe our mentality to keep everything, to not let it go. Okay, it's very difficult for us. It takes a while and also a strong relationship with yourself first and then with the people that you trust to let it go something, mostly when it's something that hurts you sometimes at some point.
Yeah, lots of people who keep stuff, it has a memory attached to it, and that memory gives us comfort, right? So if that if that blanket from your nan, for example, it makes you think of your grandma, so it makes you feel happy. And if you had a, I don't know, a pair of shoes that you were sick on a night out with, and it makes you think about, oh God, that was an awful night out, I chundered everywhere, that's not going to make you feel good. So we keep things that make us feel good. And that goes back to, like, say, nature and animals. If you've got a pack of, say, 50 cows, they're used to all those cows being around, that it makes them feel comfortable, nurtured, like protected, that all those cows are there, it's not just them, and that those cows are what they're used to. And if they see like another cow from another pack that they're not used to, it makes them feel scared. So having items makes us feel connected. But in terms of how our life is, we're not just a cow in a field, just grass and trees and the sky. It's our lives are much more complicated. And when all of our lives are constantly moving and there's so much stuff happening and there's so many things coming into our life, we can't afford to keep things to give us comfort because we'd have so much shit around us that we wouldn't know what to do with it. And eventually, there's going to be no space in your house, so you're going to have to get rid of stuff at some point. So why don't you do it gradually? Because otherwise, you're going to have to do it all in one go. And the reality is that you're not going to be able to cope with dealing with so much shit in one go that you're going to have a panic attack. And then you're just going to put it to one side, like in the loft or the garage, because you can't see it, but it's still there. And the belief in your mind that you've now got to somehow find time to do it is going to drain you and give you anxiety, even though you might not be thinking consciously.
Yes. Well, I never thought about it in that way, but it's so true. Now that you have told me that, it's so true. Because, yes, you can't see it, so in your mind, you think that everything is solved, but it's still there. And you don't want to think about it because it's going to stress you. But still, it's there. It's inside you anyway. And so it's occupying a space and it's keeping your energy anyway. In the example of the house, is still having a space for yourself. So you can't use that space for something else, something better. In the house issue, but it's the same with emotional things and the energy things. So sometimes it's very difficult to go throughout the trauma that you had. It's like I had something, you think that you figure out what was, and you think that you solved that problem, but it's still there. And mostly when it's something that really hurt you in the past, it's something that is growing with you anyway. So it's like it's still there. You don't think about it, so you think that it is not there, but it's still there. And so you don't have the space to welcome other things, most of all are the beautiful ones.
That's the thing. It's a mental issue, not a physical issue. It's a physical thing.
Yeah.
So you think it's a physical issue I've got to deal with, but actually it's a mental issue, a reason of why you can't let that go, why you haven't got the time to deal with it, why you don't want to deal with it. That is a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. And it's like two choices in life. You either keep things or you don't. Personally, I used to be a hoarder. Everything had a memory and attachment, a train ticket, a day out. Whatever, it was just, there was always a memory to every single thing. And I had so much crap in my room, I didn't know where anything was. And often all of the stuff that was there, I hadn't used it or even looked at it for years, and it was in my drawer and I couldn't get rid of it. So I had to understand the psychology of why do I need this? And my dad once said, memories are best kept in your head. So I used to take photos of every single thing. I used to record every single thing. And it would just go on the computer and I'd have to get more space to take more photos. And it's like, well, I'm not looking at these photos. I was there. And it was about me becoming present. I was living in my head in the past, in the future, and I was letting go of the past and the future. And so by taking photos, it was me holding on to the past and the future. But really, it was a mental issue of me not being present. And I decided to bin everything that I had. I was left with just a bed in my room. No phone, no TV, no clothes, no computer, no phone, no laptop. I deleted all my friends on Facebook, all the numbers. I started again with nothing. And it was the most peaceful time of my entire life. And I could just go out with just literally me, my flip-flops and no phone and go back to a bed. It was like Jesus's day where there was just Jesus and the floor, basically the floor, the tree and the sky. And it was so peaceful. And I wiped my whole computer, a terabyte of stuff, wiped it, wiped my phone. I didn't save any contacts, no notes, no photos, nothing. And so what I'm saying is that it's really hard to keep some things, because if you're keeping some things, you're going to go back into that pattern of, oh, well, that's okay, I can keep that, but that isn't. So you'll end up keeping more stuff. And if you're on the planet for, say, 80 years, well, if you keep, say, 10 things every single year, that's going to be 8 things. And it's not going to be just 10. It's always going to be, oh, I'll keep that and keep that. But where are you going to put all this shit? Evolution. Things change. Plants grow and then they die. So keeping something is a memory then. It's not going to be the same memory in time. So you can't keep everything. So you either keep things or you don't. I don't think there's an in-between. It's like you're dependent or independent. If you're independent, you will never want to depend. And if you're dependent, you can't be dependent. It's just how it works. It's literally, most things in life are grey, but in this situation, it is black or white. Because if you keep kind of smoking, your body's going to want more smoke. If you keep drinking alcohol, you want more alcohol. Chinese food, you want more. Or you don't. There's literally like a black or white, you know?
But there is another thing as well, that keeping something that can remind you what was in the past, it's also helpful to you if you are doing a kind of process, a kind of a path. So it can determine the different steps of what you're doing. But the important thing, I think, that is you have to understand what to keep. Because you can't keep everything for the... Sometimes I think it's the fear of forgetting something. I mean, I used to do that. I mean, I was kind of keeping everything because I didn't want to lose everything. So it was my fear to lose something. And it was driving me to keep everything. But then I just started to realize, okay, I need something that can prove what I did in that moment. But it's, in the case of the photo, it has to be one, two. Then the other are useful because I don't need them because I already have one that can remind me what I did. And then the others in the other steps. So it just, I think it's just to understand what you really need. That was you were saying as well. So you don't need everything. You need some particular thing. You have to prioritize it. You have to understand what is really, really helpful and important to you.
It's like in the kitchen, right? You've got a casserole maker, you've got a pasta maker, you've got a soup maker, you've got so many different like kitchen tools. You've got a thing that makes popcorn, an ice lolly maker. It's like, okay, so when I want to make ice lollies, I buy an ice lolly maker and I make ice lollies. Like when a kid wants an Xbox game, mummy, give me an Xbox game. He plays it, another game comes out. Or there's now a PS4, a computer. So we always use things for a small amount of time and then we move on. So, okay, so then you put all the machines in the garage. You've got your popcorn machine in the garage, the soup maker in the garage, the casserole thing in the garage. So now it's like, okay, well, it's there when I need it. I might not use it or think about using it for, say, a few months, but it's there. That is okay because you're always going to cook. You might want to make soup, you might want to make pasta. That is okay. But for example, a memory of a photo, you're always going to be doing something and there's always going to be an opportunity to take a photo. Look at the bigger picture. If I take a photo of every single memory, I'm going to have a thing this big, but I'm going to be living my life enjoying that moment. That when am I going to get time to look back of all of these memories in the past? Because then I'll be constantly in the past rather than creating new memories. And not just the photos, but if everything has a meaning, like a train ticket, for example, that train ticket will go in the drawer and the chances are because you're moving forward in your life, you're not going to look back at the train ticket. So unlike the stuff in the kitchen stuff where you're going to make soup and bread one day, yeah, you'll use that. Things like a train ticket or a blanket, you will just keep that in a drawer and they will run out of space. So then what you're going to do, you're going to keep it or you're going to bin it. The chances are you'll be like, oh, I've got to use that for 5 years, I'll bin it. Okay, so you never used that for 5 years, but yet it was in your drawer, but the memory's in your head. It was never in the object. So if you look at all the other things in your house and think, moving forward, if I know that in 5 years' time I'm going to come back to this thing, then it's almost like going into the future, knowing how I'm going to react, knowing that in this present time, I don't need to keep this thing because it is literally going to sit in that drawer, and it's the belief that it's in that drawer that makes me feel good. So then you become aware that unless I'm likely to use it again, like the kitchen stuff, bin it. It's like people, they get a PS4, then a PS5, then the PS6. You know you're not going to use that PS4 because there's always going to be a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But yet you put it in the loft. It's like the mindset of, you're not going to use it, but I'll keep hold on. I'll hold on to it, and then 5 years' time, realize, okay, well, I might as well sell it because I've not used it. But you knew that. So it's a mind thing. It's a way of it's letting go of control.
That's for sure. I mean, your mind is controlling everything anyway. So we can, in a way, play with it, and so decide with the mind what is good or not for us, because we don't have to think about our mind as an enemy but as an ally. I mean, you have to know how you have to talk with your mind and so find a common point to deal with, because of course most of people, me including, in the first place, I was always let's say lazy in doing something, because I was procrastinating all the time. It's the same thing to throw out something or not. At the end, it's always there. Something is always there and it's never changing, unless you're going to play with your mind and decide what to do to make a change. And then your mind is going to adapt to the new change, because that's the strongest thing, that mind can be adapt. But to be adapt needs a routine. It needs something that you're going to do today and tomorrow and constantly to create a new routine. So your mind is going to accept that and do it in an automatic way. And that's the point in the growing up with your life in general. So yeah, definitely it's the mindset and it's changing everything. I agree with you in the sense that the memory is your mind, and it is. I mean, I don't really like to make too many pictures, for example. Let's say the example of the picture. I don't really like to do too many pictures, because while I'm doing pictures, I'm feeling like I'm not living the moment. I'm really literally like that. I really prefer to live the moment, and I don't really care about the picture, because if I'm living the moment, this moment is going to be in my mind, very clear in my mind forever. I don't really need a picture. But, you know, sometimes a picture, just one, that is not distracting you to be present in that moment, it's okay. The problem starts when you are going to do just pictures or just videos, because there are people that are doing videos of everything. Okay, let's say something. It's okay. It's very good, especially, you know, when you have a little kid, you want to record everything because you don't want to lose anything about him. But I really think that it's a completely the opposite. While you are recording him, you are not really living the moment. And so, yes, maybe you can see it for and watch it again for all your life, but when it was happening, you wasn't there. And so maybe that's the great regret that you're going to have for all your life. So I think that the point is to understand how to prioritize and what is really important to you. It's not easy. I mean, it's simple, but it's not easy, because it's the mindset. And our mindset is set up in a way today that we are sometimes losing the real meaning of the things that are happening around us.
Yeah. So many people, right? If you think about a concert, right? Somebody's at a concert, somebody sees a some deer crossing the road, right? Somebody sees, I don't know, a dead body on the floor. Someone sees a car accident, right? First thing they do is they get their phone out. So it seems like people are craving attention more than experience. Experience meaning I'm going to just see that deer cross that road for that 5 seconds, rather than taking 5 seconds to get my phone out that the deer walked past. I never see the deer and I never got the footage on the camera because I never got my phone out in time. People are trying to capture everything for attention to then show their friends and be like, look at this. They're not there anymore. And it's like, if you were to take away your phone, you'd have no memory and no memory on your phone because it doesn't exist. And I find that if you are present, things stay in your head forever. So, you know, you come from a family of waiters. People say to me, because I used to wait as well, how do you remember all of the things that they're saying to you? So when they say they need certain drinks, I'm just listening to them say those drinks. And then when I'm getting the drinks, it just comes into my head. It's there. What people do is they then go, okay, Coca-Cola, lemon and orange, orange, lime, whiskey, wine and soda. They're repeating it back in their head. If you're present, the brain stores the image of light and the sound in terms of, you know, the vibration. But people, first thing they do is get their phone out and then they don't remember it because they weren't there. As you said, they weren't there watching.
Well, I really think that it's a matter of feelings as well, because of course, if you're not experiencing the things, you are not having any feeling about the things you're experiencing. So the mind works in the way connecting things with feelings, so the emotions you felt. And so if you are not living, if you are not experiencing that, how you can have feelings about it? So that for sure you're not going to remember anything. Or at least you're not going to remember the important things. Because sometimes you're just seeing something, but you're not watching. Or you're just there and maybe you are recording with your phone, but it's an image like other hundreds is the same. So nothing is different for you. So it's just many things happening just to make a number, not to make the difference. So I think that that's the point that makes things work in a different way. How much of yourself are you putting the things you are doing or leaving? And so we are going back to the feeling and the memory. The memory works if you are experiencing that. That's why the Wisley people are the ones that I experienced everything, or at least most of things, living truly with emotions and feelings and heart, what they are doing or the thing or they are going to do. It's sad sometimes because I like, for example, to stay in the airports and see people. what is going on in their life, or just trying to imagine what's going on in their life. And sometimes they are very lost. Sometimes it looks like they don't know where they are. Even if they have the tickets, even if they know where is the airport in that moment, but it's like, what are they doing? They even know. And it's sad. Because everybody should know where to go. Not only in a physical way, but also, I think, mostly in a spiritual and soul way.
Yeah, so many people are in their head, right? And they're missing real life experience. Like, you're either looking out your retina or you're looking at the back of your retina. So you're in your head rather than outside. And I do believe that, you know, that internal voice that is going on and on and on all the time, it's us seeking for difference compared to the reality. But that voice, I do believe that that voice or any mental issue can be cured with meditation, because I had a very active brain growing up and it created so many problems, if not all my problems. When I learned to meditate, I had no voice, no brain activity. My brain was silent and everything was clear. So meditation, I do believe, is the cure for all physical and mental problems, because physical problems start with like the vibration of your body, and that comes down to what your thoughts are. So if you meditate and you're in sync to like nature, then you're in a positive vibration and your body will follow in that vibration. And if you are go on.
Well, Well, honestly, I'm pretty new to the meditation. I'm practicing more often now, I mean, in the last 2 weeks. And before, I tried a couple of times, but I was never constant in that. Now that I'm doing it constantly, I'm starting to see the difference, because even meditation is a process. So you have to learn how to switch off your mind, because your mind is always there. And it's not easy at all. I mean, it's taking me a lot of work to try and do. And sometimes in the section I decide to do, even if are 10 minutes or 15, I can't for now because I'm still practicing, but I really can for all the time switch off my brain. Sometimes it's coming out anyway. Because, of course, you want to be aware of everything that's going on. But sometimes when you understand that sometimes the mind is only a kind of protecting the emotional part in the wrong way, let's say like that. You need, if you really want to understand what is going on, or if you really want to know yourself, you need to do that, the fact, and switch off your brain. Sometimes it's not easy because you're afraid. Sometimes it's not easy because it's like, okay, if I'm going to switch off it, what is going to happen to me, you know, because you have to go out of your comfort zone. And it's not easy. But I think that when you try to do it and you can see the potential that the things are have on your experience, on your life in general, maybe you can really understand how that and maybe be more brave into it. And that's the beautiful thing. When you can see the change that is only laying down and switch off your brain, it sounds crazy, but it is. And it's so good when you understand how to do it. And you can do it without the afraid of care what can happen to you. But sometimes when you don't know what is going to happen, you stop yourself and you just go back in your comfort zone.
Yeah, to me, right, the brain is a plant with seeds, right? And thinking is the sun and the water. So the more you water and feed, the more you water the plant and give the plant sun, the more it grows. And the more it grows, the more sun and water it needs to keep itself alive. The more we think, the more it charges up our neurons in our brain, and the more we think. The more you go to the gym, the more weights you can lift, the bigger your fibers grow in your arms, for example, and the more you lift. And it's a vicious circle. And the only way to slow the brain down is to stop thinking. The only way to stop the plant from growing is to don't give it sun and water. The only way to stop your muscles from growing is to stop lifting weights. And I found that when I started to meditate, I had all these thoughts coming in, and it was hard because every single 2 seconds there was another thought, another thought, another thought. And it wasn't...
What you did to stop it?
Huh?
Second up. What you did with your mind to stop the thoughts coming in?
Sorry, say that again. It cracked up.
What you did when your thoughts were coming during your meditation?
So what did I do when the thoughts are coming in?
Yeah.
So, as I said, I spent my whole life thinking. I mean, my whole life thinking, all through school, watching TV, reading a book, having a poo in the bath, going to bed, always in my head, thinking and working out stuff like, you know, why are we here? Is there a God? Blah, 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 blah. And I remember just laying on my bed like this. And every time a thought came in, I went, bleh, bleh. I had to distract myself. I'm like, bleh. And I realized if you say to yourself, I'm just going to think about this thing and then I'll stop the next thought. When that thought comes along, it'll be, I just need to think about this. Then I'll stop the next thought. It's like one more cigarette, then I'll stop. I'll just have another cigarette, then I'll stop. It's just like, oh, one more chip, one more bite of a burger. That doesn't ever end, okay? Because your body wants more of what it's used to. So every time a thought came in, it bleh, bleh. I wouldn't think, I wouldn't go through that thought process. I'd just bleh. Eventually, I would be so tired from stopping my thoughts that I'd just fall asleep. And then days and days and days and weeks would pass. And gradually, there'll be less thoughts as the weeks went past, because I wasn't fueling the brain with thinking. I wasn't giving the plant sun and water. Eventually, the plant started to stop growing as quick. It was still growing, but it wasn't growing as quick. And the minute I learned to control all thoughts, I gave myself like 3 weeks of no thoughts at all. There was just no activity coming in my head. My brain was so still. It's like I didn't water the plant, I didn't give the plant sun, that the plant realized I can't grow because there's going to be, I don't know when the next water or sun's going to be. So it kind of like a cactus kept all the water it had and just stood still and didn't grow. That was my brain for like weeks to a month. There was just no thoughts coming in. It was almost like a dead body. It was just nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I went from I can't control my thoughts to silence, just still, like just, it was like a storm and the calm after the storm. It was just bliss, and it took a long time.
When that happened, how did you feel?
It was like being blind and being able to see, going from black and white to color. It was just so peaceful. It was like going through hell and arriving at heaven. It was like treading on thorns and then not treading on thorns. It was just amazing. And it took a lot of time. Now, I think more, used to think more than anyone on the planet. I can guarantee that, right? I drove myself to possession, right? That voice gets frenetic. That voice just constantly. And the more you fuel it, the more you think. And what's amazing is 3 hours used to pass of thinking at nighttime from, 11 o'clock at night. thinking, 4 a.m, just thinking, like I wasn't going anywhere, just my brain was just like, and just the amount of time it takes to think and how quickly time flies when you're thinking is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal how time flies when you're thinking. And when you don't think, meditating for 5 minutes, it's like, fucking hell, it's only been 3 minutes, I've got another 2 minutes left. Amount of time, how slowly time is when you meditate and how quick time goes in thinking is literally incredible.
Wow. Well, so definitely I'm still not at the point, but I'm looking forward to right there. Now I want to experiment that. I will try with your way to shut up the mind.
Another thing that I'll say is
I'm fun as well.
I remember specifically having a poo every night, right? And it's by the bathroom and there's shampoo bottles there. And every time I started to think, I would quickly read the back of the shampoo bottle. So it would say, this shampoo is mixed with fresh coconut fragrances to make your skin lovely and soft. And I remember reading the ingredients. It was all this like crazy, weird words like exablexon, like all these like chemicals and stuff. And I remember reading through like the 50 different chemicals and having to pronounce it. And that took my mind off what I was thinking about, to the point where I was spending 5 minutes going through the ingredients of these chemicals in this shampoo that I forgot what I was thinking about whilst I sat down on the toilet. So I occupied my brain with something externally so I didn't think about something internally. And basically, your brain forgets what it was thinking about. And you never think about it again. But if you think, okay, I just think about this, and then I'll stop thinking, you'll always have something to think about. There's always, oh, okay, this is more important than that. It's not. It's just brain activity. So thinking, reading the shampoo bottle, reading whatever, occupied my brain for the 5 minutes externally, as opposed to occupying my brain internally. And because I wasn't fueling the brain with thought, I wasn't lifting the weights in the gym, I wasn't giving the plant water, it didn't grow. It just stayed the same height. If that makes sense.
Yes. Absolutely. But yeah, it's another state of mind. Is the next step, maybe? No?
Yeah, and also, like, food and water is like giving the plant water and sun. If you give yourself good food, you've got good like oxygen to the brain and the brain's got good blood flow and it's got, you sleep better. So you remove toxins and then you can think clearer. So you could say, well, if I eat well, then I'm going to think more. Yes, that is correct. But because you've got such a healthy brain, you can control your thoughts more because you have more control of your brain. So actually, diet plays a role in meditation, because if you're tired and like drained, then you're not going to really have much control over thoughts, because you'll just be like, you just like be so lethargic and you want to lie down all the time. And when you lie down, your brain starts to tick and you can't be asked to like control thoughts. So diet actually has a huge impact on the ability to meditate, because you have more control of your brain if you eat and drink well. That makes sense.
Now, what is the last thing that you said? Is good for that?
Diet has a massive impact on your ability to meditate, because if you eat lots of shitty food, then you're going to feel shit, so you're going to be tired, your brain's going to be weak, so it'll just go on auto charge and start thinking. Whereas if you eat well, you've got more control over your body and your muscles and your brain, so you can meditate easier, and it's easier to control your thoughts because you're healthy and you've got the correct energy levels. If that makes sense?
Yes, definitely. It's another state of mind. It's another start point as well. So it's the first step to reach out and then go on to the next step as well. Yeah, definitely. I really hope that someday in the schools they are going to teach how to meditate, because it's a powerful tool that everybody should have, and everybody should know how to use it. And I really think that it's just a couple of people that knows how powerful can be meditate and how can really change your entire life. For now, I have to be honest, like I already said, I am in the first process of the meditation, so I'm not experiencing nothing so deep, but already with a couple of times, I think it's kind of 2 weeks that I'm doing that regularly and often, and I'm already can see the difference between before and now. I mean, it's like I'm more aware of what is happening in my inside part. And it's like I want to spend more time with myself. Makes sense? The first thing that I saw that it's different, it's like that it's not that I don't like to stay with other people. On the contrary, I really like to share and to enjoy, have fun, and to have conversations. It's my first thing that I really like. But I really appreciate and I really enjoy the time with myself. And I want to do a lot of stuff with myself. So that's the first difference that I found starting to do that. It's like I started to know something else and something more, and I want to know more and more and more. So, it, like I said, it's everything a process. But if you never start, you can never know what it's going to bring you. That's the point, and that's the fascinating thing, that you know where to start. And you just have to be open and to bring you and guide you whenever you have. Yeah, that's the thing that I really, that I'm really enjoying right now as well. I'm doing a couple of courses to study, you know, to grow as well, to not waste my time. And it's like everything I'm doing, I'm starting a point and everything is just bringing me when the universe wants me to go. Makes any sense? I feel like that, and I feel so good for that. Just letting it, because you know sometimes you just want to have everything under your control and drive control, and you really stress and you really feel bad if something, even the minimal thing, is not going like you want. And so you're just feeling like lost for one tiny thing that is not going like you want. So it's really important to understand how to let it go that and just let the things bring you where the things need you to go. I don't know. It's like I said, I just want to enjoy what is coming. I have no rush. That's another important thing, because sometimes we start something and we want everything and now. So we don't enjoy the process. And that's a very bad habit that we have, I think. The human being sometimes doesn't know how to enjoy the process. They are always thinking, I will do that to win. But it's not like that. It's not working like that. It's working exactly on the contrary. Because if you want to go somewhere, if we want to take an example of a practical example, the first thing you have to do is moving. Because you have to go out of your house, take the car, or just have a walk. So everything starts with you taking action. Everything starts with you doing something that is going to be different. And then let the flow drive you and enjoy whatever is coming.
Yeah, like, so medication for a mental illness, they give you the medication to alter the state of mind. And then when you alter the state of mind, the physical symptoms change and disappear. So that's why they give you medication, right? But meditation is the actual problem solution. So I had Tourette's when I was younger, which is enormous brain activity, and the medication slowed my brain down. So the twitching was less, because the twitching happens when your brain's active. When I learned to meditate, my Tourette's went completely. There was no twitching, there was nothing. So I know from experience that meditation healed my Tourette's, and medication suppressed the symptoms. And that's the same for dyslexia, OCD, autism, Asperger's, ADD, ADHD, all of the mental names that are given, medication is provided, but that just suppresses the problem. The problem can be removed completely through meditation. Any mental illness, depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, it's just brain activity. It can all be cured completely. Meditation. Instead, people get given medication. Why? Because they don't know meditation. They go to the doctor because that's the first person you go to and there's a problem. The doctor doesn't know stuff like meditation. He's gone to university, he's taught, look up the symptoms, provide the prescription. He's only doing his job. The person who goes to the doctor wants to be helped, so he trusts the doctor and they take the medication. And if the problems get worse, you get more medication. And if the problem is the same, then you don't see the doctor. But meditation cures all mental illness, every single fucking thing, even dementia and Parkinson's, okay, and Alzheimer's. Because if this thing about overactive brain gives, say, Parkinson's, well, if you learn to slow your brain down, it wouldn't deteriorate as quick. Things like Alzheimer's, where you haven't used your brain enough. Often dependent people rely on somebody else to do stuff for them, so they don't use their brain. As a result, they have lots of unanswered questions in their head, and they don't want to ask people for answers because they feel like, oh, I don't want to ask them too many questions in case they get annoyed with me. So you just have this constant brain activity going around in circles where you never get answers and real truth. It's almost like, I wonder why he does that. Oh, that's probably why. So you make up like an answer in your head to satisfy that thought. So you've gone your whole life just making up answers to questions, and it's not actually truthful. And so you wear your brain out, and dementia is where you forget things, or you can't remember things. That's because you never got real proof of answers. You went round and round in circle. So that brain activity could have been cured by meditation, where you now are so aware of everything, and you will listen to people and hear answers rather than going into your head and thinking, why does he do that? Why did he do that? You're in your head. So you can't be in your head and outside your head. If you're outside your head, you're so aware of everything. You're listening to the news, you're reading stuff, and you have the answers. Whereas if you're in your head trying to find answers before you're actually aware, then you're going to make up answers because you never get the real answers. And I know at school, for example, the teacher used to be teaching the answers, but I presumed that she wouldn't have the answers. So I used to go in my head and sort of question and find answers myself. So I wasn't listening to the teacher with the answers, but in my head, I was kind of making up answers that wasn't actually the real answer. It's almost like, I'm not going to ask that girl out for a drink because I think she'll say no. So rather than asking her and getting a yes or a no, I come up with an answer in my head of her saying no because your breath smells or your too greasy hair. and I wouldn't ask her. So now that became my reality, that she doesn't want to go for a drink with me because I had greasy hair or bad breath. That was made up. And I did that through every single thing in my life, to the point where I was in my head the whole time and I wouldn't find real answers. And that brain activity goes round and round in circle. And things that you think are real are not real. That's what dementia is. You think that happened yesterday. Well, it didn't. It happened 10 years ago. But because you're replaying stuff in your head now, the brain thinks it is real, but it's not. So again, meditation cures all mental illness and often all physical illness, because if your body's in a vibration of positive energy, you're at ease. And life is about living. Plants grow. You're not supposed to be dying, okay, because everything's supposed to live. When you're in a negative vibration, the body's at dis-ease, and dis-ease is death, and things are dying. So physical illness happens when your body's at dis-ease. So if you're meditating, you're in tune and aware with nature, which your body's going to live, and there won't be physical disease either. Again, it's a cure to everything on the planet, mental illness and physical illness.
Well, that's a very beautiful message, in the sense that, like I said, I wish everybody can learn how to meditate. I knew and I met a lot of people that had this kind or a couple of this kind of issues. And when I met them, today I would like to have them, if I was in the past, knowing what I know today. Because I really thought that it was something that I could do for them, but in that moment it wasn't so clear for me. I was young as well, so you know, it's like I have to figure out what's going on in my life, how can I help you. But that's a very powerful message. Really hope that it's going to be louder and more people can understand how meditation is powerful and can really, really help someone in the really deep way. Yeah.
So just to confirm, I had very bad Tourette's, not swearing, because the swearing comes from frustration or excitement. My Tourette's was simply brain activity, frustration of trying to work out. You're telling me to get a job, but I can make a business. And it didn't match the outside with the inside. So it frustrated me. So I used to get like, fuck's sake, rather than like, whoa, kick it, oh, Italian pizza. That wasn't what it was like. It was like, fuck, cunt. But the twitching was the worst form for me. So imagine the brain is active. It's stimulating other facial muscles to help process the information, because it's all connected. So I used to twitch, and the medication suppressed my twitching for 10 years. I came off the medication in 3 weeks. I meditated. My Tourette's disappeared completely. So I am speaking from experience that if I cured Tourette, which is apparently uncurable, okay, I cured it in 3 weeks by coming off the medication and meditating for 3 weeks. The Tourette's was cured by meditation. If I start to think, I twitch. I blink because I'm intensely talking. But when I'm asleep or meditating, I'm like still as a dead body. I just don't move. I'm so still. So people, if they want to cure physical and mental disease, they need to meditate, but it's going to be hard. So what I recommend is, when you start to think about something, quickly read the nearest thing to you, a book, as I said, the bottle of the shampoo, quickly read a poster, quickly pick up a leaflet. If you suddenly read that leaflet, your brain won't process that information. And as soon as you can't remember what you're thinking about, stop reading that shampoo, stop reading the book, stop reading the poster, and go about your day. Again, you get a thought coming into your head. Don't think about it. Pick up the shampoo, pick up the book, pick up the poster.
You have to distract the cell.
Distract the brain. And what that's doing is that rather than going to the gym every day where you can lift weights, you're going to the gym every 2 days. So now you can't lift as much because you haven't been going to the gym consistently. And now you can't lift as much. So now translate that to the brain. The brain won't have as much brain power to process all those thoughts. You go down from 50,000 thoughts in a day to only being able to do 25,000 thoughts in a day. And the aim is to not go to the gym for weeks, that your body's just, I can't even lift any weights anymore. So that's basically the same as you don't want to think about thoughts where you go from 50,000, 25,000, 10,000, 5,000. The less you think, the less energy you have to think, the more tired it becomes to think, to the point where you can't ask anything and you're just in meditation. So keep distracting the brain every time you think, and within 3 weeks of doing that every day for 3 weeks, and like anything, it takes consistency to see results. You've got to water the plant consistently for it to grow. But this is in reverse. This is in reverse. You don't want to water the plant because you want it to sort of just die, basically. And that's the same as don't think about your thoughts, distract your brain, and the brain will become weaker where it won't have the energy to think about all those thoughts during the day. And when you have control over your brain, you can select what to spend time and energy thinking about, because it will take energy to think about one thing, that it will tire you out. And you won't want to think about bollocks because you know it wears you out.
Yeah, but at least you have the tool to make order in your thoughts and your brain. That's the amazing thing. If you don't try it, you can't realize how powerful and how beautiful it is. Because in that way, you can just direct your thoughts. And that's the goal we have. Because the problem is not that brain is working, because the brain has to work. But the problem is that we don't know how to put order in what we're thinking, in what we are doing, what we, in where the brain is going. So the only tool we have is meditation, because with that we can calm the mind, and when one thought is coming, we can decide if we want to go deep with that thought or just changing it and decide which one we want to make more deep for us, because maybe it's the one we want. For example, lately I'm doing meditation to attract love relationship, because I've been alone for a while, and now I know that I kind of ready to try again to have a relationship, but I'm not like desperate that I want a relationship. I want the right one. So I need to work with myself to understand what I really want from that and how I can give myself to the other person. Because as I said, if you want something, you have to do something. Otherwise, you're not going anywhere. And so, yeah, definitely, I really think that it's the most powerful message that we have built in this conversation. And, well, congratulations to you that you understand how to do it. Because many people just give up. And they just decide to hold the medication and just to switch off not only the brain, but also physically. Because I think that the medication works on the physical aspect, right? More or less. The chemical things. So it's like shut down a machine. It's pretty much the same. So yes, you are going to switch off the brain, but you, with that, you are switching on everything. It's like a fridge. If you don't want the fridge to make cold the things, you have to shut down everything. You can't stop just one thing in the machine. So, yeah, wow, that's a so powerful thing. So glad to hear that. Even for me, I mean, as I said, I had a friend. She was depressed, but really depressed. I mean, so she had so many trauma in herself, and she didn't want to accept one thing with herself. And that's why she was depressed. And sometimes I didn't know how to help her, because for how much I wanted to, you know, make her speak, try to let her just go through the things that she didn't want. And of course, I'm not a psychologist, or, you know, I didn't do anything in a specific or in a professional way. It was just a friend support. But I couldn't help her so much, because at the end, it's the person that needs to decide that he wants to help herself or be self in a way. So the first thing always starts with you. So if I decide to change or to make a change, so I have to start and do something to make a change. And you did. So thank you for this proof, a real deep proof and demonstration and experience, just to go back on what we started. And so amazing. Yeah.
So meditation can stop obesity, because if people eat, they are not in tune with themselves. They are longing for something. They are seeking a need. I call it a need for a want. People who always have to eat, always have to smoke. When you smoke, you get a fulfillment. When you eat something, you want it and you get it. It's like a reward. And every time, yeah. So it can stop obesity, because if you just apply action to your thought every time you think of go to the fridge, every time you smoke, every time you eat, if you keep thinking and doing, you're not in control of your thoughts. So meditating allows you to be in control of your thoughts and say, I don't need to eat, I don't need to smoke. So that cures obesity. That also cures diabetes, because that comes from eating. Relationships. So many people wouldn't argue, wouldn't get divorced if they meditated. Why? Because every time an issue comes up, they wouldn't react to the argument. They'll be in such a calm mindset that they can understand, for example, the wife's point of view and why she's getting angry and why that happened. And he would know that it's because he didn't do that, for example. And because he's in a calm state of mind, he's aware that that made her feel like that, and he doesn't want to piss her off next time. So he says, no problem, I'm really sorry, I'll make better effort. Instead, when everyone's in their head all the time and then some of the wife starts nagging about something, the first thing you do is you react rather than respond. So when you are in meditation all the time, to see people's point of views and understand their reasoning, as opposed to just seeing it from your point of view, how you're being attacked. So it will save marriage. Most people who try for kids, they can't have kids because they're in such a desperate need of, I want this kid or this fulfillment. So they're stressed, they're tense, right? So if you meditate and you let it go, you become relaxed, you become in tune to nature and the positive energy, and you're such in peace with yourself, you won't want kids, you won't want a husband, you'll just have sex. And what happens when you have sex? You create life and you'll have your kid. So it affects diabetes, it affects diet, obesity, it affects marriage, it affects children. If you understand that everything starts from the brain, it affects everything. And if you've got unanswered questions and you want, say, love, you're going to attract somebody who's also got unanswered questions, because you're the same vibration. That's where you've got to have all the answers yourself, become complete, and then that person will just be there, because you'll magnetically attract that person. You can't want something, because if you want something, you haven't got enough. So therefore, there's like a hole in your box, and it's going to be leaking out. So you've got to fix all the holes yourself, and then it just keeps filling up. So it literally is the root of all evil, the brain activity, and you can get anything you want through meditation. But for me, meditation was like being blind my whole life and suddenly being able to see. Meditation allowed my five senses. My smell became incredible, my touch, my sight, my hearing became increased, because when you're in your head, all the energy is going like inside, it's going out into the universe, it's being wasted. Whereas if you meditate, it stores within yourself. So it's like an iPhone is constantly at 100% charged, and therefore your hearing is like on 100%, your sight's on 100%, your touch, your sex, sexual energy is all 100%. But when you are thinking unnecessarily, you're using brain activity, you're wearing down your battery, so your hearing goes to 70%, your touch is 60%, your smell is 30%, your sight is 20%. And this is why so many people wear glasses. It's not necessary for people to wear glasses like they do. Like, we're born with fucking eyesight. Why does everyone wear glasses? Again, it's the things that they are doing that is affecting every single damn thing.
Yeah,
it's absolutely the power of God, meditation. And I'm saying it from experience, not because I've learned it. I have healed all my issues, every single fucking issue. I had such bad acne growing up, so bad acne. I tried every medication, every face wash, every cream, None of it fucking worked. When it disappeared was the same time I came off of medication for Tourette's. What is Tourette's? Brain activity. What is the twitching? Stress. Fucking stress. Stress was making me spotty. Why do teenagers have spots at school? Because they're stressed. They're trying to work out, like, who am I? Am I gay? Am I lesbian? What do I like? It's a stress. Gay people gave me spots. When I had no brain activity, there was no stress, there was no spots. So it cured spots, it cured every fucking problem I ever had in my life. Every problem.
Wow, that's amazing. Really. I really think I don't have anything else to say to that. It's just so beautiful. I'm really happy to have that example that is here. So with that, I just want to go over and over and over meditation right now. You inspired me to that. I already was, but now I wanted more.
So we can keep speaking, or we can end it here. What do you feel?
I need to end. I have other things to do, but it was so good.
Okay, quickly plug anything you want to plug.
I'm sorry?
Quickly plug any social medias, websites you want to plug, quickly.
Well, you can find me on Facebook, Claudiez, it's my stage name, I'm an artist, I'm a singer. And Instagram as well, Claudiez Music, and YouTube as well, Claudiez Music.
Okay, I'm just going to press stop, but wait there and I'll say goodbye, okay? One sec.
Yeah.
Hang on. If you've enjoyed this episode, I have many more for you to listen to, so go back and have a look at the old ones. Also, make sure that you have subscribed and notifications are turned on so you know when I've released a new one. Follow me on Instagram, YesKingOliver. Have a great day.